The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, we're on a journey together to grow in our ability to live from our spirit, small s, because of the partnership with His Spirit, capital S. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is not my primary scripture this morning, but we're going to springboard off it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace... How about that? I just realized that. That's cool. I've heard that before. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. In January, when we preached concerning the reality that you and I are spirit, soul, and body, we said that one of the primary purposes of the Word of God is to be a mirror, like this mirror right here, that, and this, the Word says it concerning itself. It is a mirror that we look into to see what we see. Now, many times we would read that scripture and follow that thought and say, yeah, we can look in the mirror and see how ugly and terrible and rotten and sinful we are. But that isn't what the Word says.
No.
I don't believe that's what the Word means. What the Word means is I look into the mirror to see the invisible. I look into the Word of God to see that part of me which cannot be seen. I'm very aware of my body. I'm very aware of my soul, but my spirit is hidden. And the Word of God reveals to me my spirit. In fact, the Word of God reveals to me that I even got one. Do you know that many believe that we are not spirit, soul, and body? We're just body and soul. Many believe that the soul and the spirit are one, but they're not. In fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us that one of the purposes of the Word of God is to bring a division between my soul and my spirit. And so before we begin to talk in the weeks or in the months to come about how do we live from our spirit, I want to establish some things. And one of the things I want to establish is that we do have a spirit. In fact, we are a spirit and we live in a body and we have a soul. But the real us is the spirit. That which will live forever is the spirit. That which makes you more you than you. Somebody gave me a cup. Jody gave me a cup this week with my favorite quote on it, Dr. Seuss, you are you. That's truer than true. There's no one alive that's youer than you. And the thing that really makes you you, you might think it's your soul or your body, but it's not, it's your spirit. Yeah, yeah. Tommy, when we get to heaven, I'm going to know you.
Amen.
You won't have the same body? I won't have... Quit it. We're talking. We're talking. Okay. We won't have the same body. Aren't you thankful for that? I am. But we'll know one another after the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? And we'll understand and we'll perceive, and our personality will be in our spirit. The reality is who we are, the very essence of who we are is in our spirit. It's not even in our soul. Now, God wants to sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body. But that whole process cannot take place until we establish that we have a spirit, and that spirit, small s, is the entry point into God's sanctification process. My body will not be sanctified in any other way except through my spirit. My soul will not be, by the way, the word sanctified just means set apart. Holy, his, however you want to say it, but just set apart for his purposes. Your dog dish at home is sanctified. It's set apart for a purpose. Now I realize on the farm we used to just feed the dog out of the pan that the food was cooked in and then wash it. And I suppose that breaks all kinds of rules. But one thing I learned on the farm, a lot of rules aren't that significant as it relates to cleanliness and all that. In fact, I think one of the reasons that so many people are sick in this day is they don't touch dirt often enough. And I do mean dirt. I mean the earth. Well, that's a whole other thing. That's got nothing to do with nothing. But the reality is your spirit, my spirit, it is the part of me that knows God. It is the part of me that loves God. It is the part of me that worships God. It is the part of me that responds to God. And yes, it involves my body and my emotions, but it comes through the doorway, if I could say it that way, of my spirit, of who I am on the deepest place. And the place that God can most easily access is my spirit.
Amen.
And that's because he's already there. And we can connect spirit to spirit. My spirit has senses. Just like my soul does and my body does. It has the five same senses. That's why the Word of God says things. Let me read to you. My spirit has spiritual hearing. That's why Jesus said, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He says, let him who hear has who has ears hear. And it's like, duh. Don't we all have ears? But no, hearing you don't hear, he said. And there is a hearing in the Spirit. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And there's very few people in this room that have ever heard the audible voice of God with your natural ears. Now, maybe a few of you have, but if you have, I know this. It was very, very short soundbite, and it's very seldom. Maybe only one. Well, let's take a poll. How many of you have ever, I haven't, but so I'm not raising my hand. How many, raise your hand if you've ever heard the audible voice of God with your natural hearing. That is awesome. Praise God. Your faith level should be quite high. Most of us have never heard the audible voice of God with our natural ears. But I've heard the voice of God. And so have you. But we hear with our spiritual ears. We know, he said, you will know my voice and follow. Not only do we have spiritual hearing, but we have spiritual vision. We read it last time we talked about this. Look at the unseen things. Look at the things that are not seen. Well, how do you do that? With the eyes of the Spirit. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Well, how do you do that? With the eyes of your spirit. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I was born with my eyes open. But I remember a day when my eyes opened. And so do you. That's spiritual eyes. We have a spiritual sense of touch. Do you remember? Do you realize that when the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, it had nothing to do with her hand touching his garment? He was being touched by people, the Bible tells us. He was being thronged by people. In fact, the disciple, he said, who touched me? And they said, what are you on, Jesus? What do you mean, who touched you? People are thronging you. And he said, no. Somebody touched me. I felt virtue. He said, what he was really saying is, somebody touched my spirit. And she didn't touch him with her natural hand. She touched him with her spiritual hand. She touched his spirit. She reached out and took something with her spirit. That's why I said to you earlier this morning, in the atmosphere that the Lord had created, I just said, just have a drink. Just reach out and take something. But you don't take it with your natural man. You don't take it with your soul. You take it with your spirit. Now, if I'm speaking a language you don't understand, I want you to know that this is what we're growing in. So don't feel anything. Just believe me. You have a spirit. Some of you read the Word of God and you get frustrated because you said, it makes no sense to me. Trust me, you don't need to understand it. Just read it. It's doing your spirit good. And there comes a time when all of a sudden little fireworks go off on the inside of when you read something because it's, oh, wow, you just saw it with your spirit. You just heard it with your spirit. I ask you it was quite a while ago. I ask you, when's the last time you hugged your Bible? When's the last time you read something and you petted the page? Don't look at me funny. The Word is so precious. But it's not real precious to the soul, and it's not real precious to the body, but it is so precious to the spirit. Because it helps me understand my Father. It helps me understand His heart. Those of you who are in the higher call class, I've never in all my life heard somebody say this, but Debbie Christofferson said she loves to read the book of Leviticus. When she understood the preciousness of the law and the heart of God and His love for His people, she loves to read the law. And I understand that now. I understand that. I didn't say I'm going to read the book of Leviticus, but I do understand it. And all of that is because our spirit is fed and we're touched. Paul said that I might apprehend, or that I might grasp with my hand, is the real thought there. The reason that Jesus apprehended me. He wasn't talking about laying hold of Jesus with his natural hands and arms. He was talking about laying hold of Jesus with his spirit. We have a sense of taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There's an awareness where we the goodness of the Lord. He's a flavorful. He said, he said, he must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You'll never hunger or thirst again. What is all this talk about? And see, we must compare spiritual things to spiritual things. It's important when we read the Word of God to understand. In fact, the Apostle Paul was in the habit of saying, "It now is not the Lord that speak, but I," concerning some matters. It's important when we read the Word of God to know that we compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Why? Because we are both spiritual and natural, but God's entry point into our life is through the Spirit, small s. That doesn't mean He can't touch my body or my soul, but He delights in moving in my life through my spirit. If you're here this morning and you're in need of healing in your body, I'll tell you this. It will come through your spirit. First and foremost. Doesn't mean things don't happen in your body, but they happen because of what's already in your spirit. And we're going to talk more about that. And you also have a sense of smell in your spirit. In fact, you smell. Do you know that you have a fragrance? In the spirit, you carry a fragrance. To some, Paul writes and he says, we are a fragrance to life. To others, we are a fragrance of death. Have you ever wondered how people can know you're a Christian without you even carrying a big fat Bible and telling them? They just know. It's because of what they perceive about you. And it comes more from your spirit than from anything else. Now, the reality is your spirit impacts your soul, and so there's a lightness and there's a countenance. But we need to know that the spirit, and it has a life, if I can say it this way, all of its own. Growing up, we had cows. Had beef and milk cows. When I was younger, we had sheep, actually, but in fact, it's got nothing to do with nothing. Yeah, it does. It has to do with me. One of my favorite memories of kindergarten is bringing show and tell, bringing a little lamb to school that we had kept in the house because I think the mother died during birth or wouldn't feed it or whatever. But I remember having countless lambs in the house, black ones and white ones. Still remember the smell. It wasn't bad, it was just different. But so, grew up on a farm, and out back of the barn, we had a manure pile. And around the perimeter of the manure pile would grow flowers. Beautiful flowers. In the midst of all the mess and the chaos and the cows walking and the mud, because right in that area you usually would get pretty muddy because of rain washing stuff down. Anyway, you get it. But there'd be flowers. And they had, in the midst of all that yuck and even that smell, there'd be flowers that had their own smell and had their own independent life. And so it is with the spirit of man. In the midst of the mess and the chaos and things not being all just quite right and everything, there's the beauty of the spirit. The real you, the awesomeness of you. Yes. There's three things that I want you to take away from here today. And I want to suggest that in order to understand what it looks like for me to live from my spirit and to have the spirit alive, it would be good for us to look biblically at the time and the place, the only place in all of Scripture where we see the death of the spirit. And there are only two people in all of Scripture that qualify for that, and that is Adam and Eve. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to go through this quite fast because I want to leave some time for God to do stuff by His Spirit, just because He loves us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die." So God makes this pronouncement. If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. By the way, the word "surely" and "die" are the exact same words. And they mean die. So what He really said is, on the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Or you shall die dead, because it's the same word. It's Strong's number 4191, for those of you who care. If my daughter was here, she'd care. John Christofferson taught us at our higher call class on Thursday night that in the Hebrew language, you know, in our language, if I'm sending you a text and I want to emphasize something, I'll probably put it in all caps or underline it or put it in bold. But in the Hebrew language, do you know how they did that? They said it twice. So that's why Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," or "truly, truly." And so God says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely," or "you shall die. You shall die dead. My side note in my Bible gives a reference and says the real translation is kind of, "In dying you shall die." But can we just agree together, just for the sake of argument, what God really meant is you will die, die. Yeah. Yeah. You will be dead, dead. So, we know the story. Adam and Eve, you know, the serpent comes and calls into question what God really said. Eve communicates to the serpent exactly what God said, and she even used the die, die. So they ate of the tree. And then in Genesis chapter 3, which is just across the page in my Bible, God comes walking in the cool of the day. I believe that God walked in the cool of the day of the garden often. And I believe Adam walked with him. So the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" How many of you know when God asks a question, he's not looking for an answer? He already knows the answer. He wants you to communicate the answer. Do you ever notice how often Jesus asks a question? When asked a question? Anyway, so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." We have just witnessed the death that God had promised of the spirit of man. And immediately, the body and the soul gain an empowerment that they were never intended to have. And the husband and the man and wife, husband and wife, are immediately aware of their bodies. And their body gets a voice, and they sow fig leaves to cover up things because they're ashamed. They hide from one another. And not only that, but they hide from God. And Adam makes the statement, "I was afraid." Ding, 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 ding. The soul has a voice. And the emotion of fear overrides the relationship that Adam has had with God all this time. And God asks the question, "Who told you that you were naked?" Knowing full well. Could even ask the question, "Who told you you were afraid?" Knowing full well. No one had to tell them. They had now had the knowledge of good and evil, and they have the ability to live out of their awareness of their body and an awareness of their soul, and that which had communed with God in the cool of the day is now hiding from him. They hid from one another, and they hid from God. Body and soul, exercising authority over two. Now, we know they didn't die as we would count death in the natural. We know that they went on to live a long time and have a number of children. So what God was talking about was a spiritual death. And it's good for us to see it put on display. It's good for us to realize. Now, we can be thankful that we're here this morning and our spirit is not dead. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, "You must be born again. You must be born of water." That was no problem. Everyone he ever talked to was born of water. Do you realize that the only person on planet Earth that had not been born of water yet before the birth of Jesus was Jesus? He had to be born of water. That amazes me. I think it's because the kingdom of God is about man. It's about humanity. He said, you must be born of water and of the Spirit to see the kingdom. He's serious about you and he's serious about me. I'm very aware this morning that we all have challenges that we're wrestling with in the realm of our body and in the realm of our soul. It can be issues of needing healing. It can be issues of needing provision. It can be fighting the fight of sin. It can be, you know, it can be all kinds of things. That's why we need the sanctifying process work in our life. That's why we need to have our soul sanctified. That's why we need to have our body sanctified. But we need to know that that sanctifying process comes through the sanctification and the ongoing work of God in our spirit and through our spirit. I'm not going to have you turn to it. I'm just going to read this scripture. You don't have this, Mandy, so don't worry about it. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. There's a lot of emphasis in our day on grace, and some of it is pretty messy and some is pretty sloppy. There is an emphasis on grace in our day that says the grace of God gives me the right to do anything I want. And it doesn't. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. The grace of God teaches us something. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I want to encourage you this morning in the grace of God that is at work in your life. And it has an ability to teach us. See, the real danger for us is to get fruit-focused instead of root-focused. The real danger when we talk about the sanctification of the body and the soul is to focus on the fruit and try to change things from the outside, and you never can. You change things from the inside out. And it is the working of the Spirit of God on our spirit first and foremost that brings a sanctification to my soul and to my body. A set apartness. The grace of God does not give me the right not to be set apart. It gives me an enablement to be set apart. And an empowerment. It teaches me. The grace of God teaches me to say no. And if you're here this morning and you think that we pastors grew up on the shelf of righteousness somewhere and have never had to learn how to say no to sin, you are sadly mistaken. I have put this scripture to the test. I have called up out to God and asked for a grace. Give me a grace to overcome this. Give me a grace to say no. And I've found that it's there. He watches over his word to perform it. The entrance of his word brings an enlightenment. And we need to know that. The Lord is inviting us this morning, not commanding us, he's inviting us into a process of sanctification in a greater way. I said in the prayer of the room this morning, quite involuntarily, kind of, we're going up. And the reality is that's true, and that shout rises up in me often because I know it's true. See, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It only makes sense that we should go up. But we're going up, and we're moving from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from faith to faith. We're just growing, and as a congregation, we need to know we're going up. And we're in our own individual lives and collectively as a body, we are going to take our seat in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in new and fresh ways. And if you're here this morning and you're working through things, don't let that disqualify you from this pursuit of allowing your spirit to be enlarged and or to be enthused and enlivened with the Spirit of God. Rachel, how are you this morning? The Lord was speaking to me, to you, concerning or during worship. And I saw you were standing over there just being a good old mom like you are. Not old, just good. Good mom. And I saw the Lord walk up to you. And actually, Marcy had been sharing and I just about peace. And I realized it was the Prince of Peace. And he was walking up to you, and I thought, oh, cool. The Lord's going to say something to her. But he didn't. He just walked and stepped right into you. And it was like, ooh, that's cool. But the word of the Lord for you this morning is the Prince of Peace is coming in to your spirit in new and fresh ways. He's going to come in, and the good thing is he's doing it. The encouragement for you is you can just rest in the reality that he is doing it. There is a peace that is coming and growing in you, and it's peace deep in your spirit, and it will begin to affect your soul, and it will begin to affect your body. But I encourage you to take times aside, and I know that's asking for a miracle for a mom of a toddler. I understand that. But the grace of God, I encourage you to take time aside to just be in his presence and allow the Prince of Peace to minister to you, to encourage you to take his place and take up a new and fresh residency within you. You notice the peace in the room, even as we talk about peace. Baby's not even crying, for goodness sakes. I'm not doing very good if I can't wake the baby up, huh? The Lord is giving us an invitation today, and it comes out of Ephesians, if you'd turn there with me. He's inviting us to grow in our ability and to recognize the reality that we have a spirit. Because our spirit is not seen, we so often tend to neglect it. I want to encourage you to make a new and a fresh commitment to feed your spirit. And to understand it doesn't matter how it makes you feel, although I have found this, it doesn't take long before it begins to impact your soul. And your soul says, well, this is good. The renewing of your mind does not come through your mind. It comes to your mind from your spirit. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Apostle Paul writing this to believers. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to the work of all cleanliness with greediness, but you. That's not you, but you. Have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The encouragement of the Lord to us this morning and the invitation of the Lord this morning is to put on the new man, to live from the new man, to live from in another place the scripture calls it the inward man, to recognize that the outward man is perishing day by day, but the inward man is being renewed. The Lord would have us understand that even as we read, it is the God of peace who will do this, and it will be a peaceful process. And it is he, again in verse 24 of our opening text, and again, it is he who will do this. He does want to encourage us not to focus on the fruit, but to focus on the root. Sometimes we get so impatient with the lack of fruit, if I could say it that way, or the condition of the outward working in our body and our soul, and we grow so impatient, we want to help God fix it. And I would stay out of the process if I were you, and I would get into your spirit and get into your God and allow the root to feed the fruit and change the fruit. That is the grace of God. The grace of God allows me to step into a place where I'm more focused on God than I am on myself. Set your affection on things above rather than things below. Looking onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Yeah, but I'm not done yet. Well, that's okay. He is. He's perfect. And I'm being conformed to his image. Do not get impatient with the confirmation or the conforming process. Just stick with him. He's okay with where you're at if you're okay with where you're at. But he's not okay with where you're at if where you're at distracts you from focusing on him instead of yourself. If you want to look, look, but look at the unseen things. Look at the Spirit. The Lord is doing a new thing among us, and he wants to do a sign to us even this morning. He is bringing an awareness of the reality of his Spirit impacting our spirit. Yes. Good. And he's doing it right where we sit. In times past, this is what the Lord spoke to me this morning. Oh, heck, I'll prophesy it. The Lord would have us to understand that the sanctification that we so desire in the realm of our soul and in the realm of our spirit, body will come through the realm of our spirit. He would have us to know, and even this morning know, that he wants to do a new thing in us. He wants to create a new channel of his flow into our lives. In times past, we would probably, I suspect, have an altar call and we'd have people come forward. But the Lord says this to us this morning, you stay where you are and I'll come to you. stand up and receive from me. And it's not so important. It's fine if you stand in body and soul, but I'm saying this to you, stand in spirit. Whether you stand in body or soul is secondary to, are you standing in your spirit? He would say to you, reach out your hands as to receive from me. But don't put out your hand of just your body or of your soul, but recognize and put out the hand of your spirit and receive from me. I'm coming to you. He'd have us to know that he's so serious about this that he is going to visit us in our homes and in our workplaces and in our, and if we will just give him time. If we will just, in fact, I hear the Lord say, test me in this. Try me. Give me time, and you will find that I'm already there. Understand that it is the God of peace who is doing this and saying this, so there is no room for condemnation. There is no room for watching the clock and measuring, well, how much time? That's your choice, but I'll be there. Even now, we just release the peace. The Prince of Peace comes in. Reach out with your spirit, listen with your spiritual ears, see with your spiritual eyes, sense with your spiritual senses. Don't let silence bother you. God is in the silence. Don't measure what he's doing by what's happening in your body or in your soul. More, Father. You seeing anything? Okay, that's good. You don't have to. Oh, you're crying. You don't have to see anything. Just drink. Just eat. Just fellowship with God. It's still early. We're on God time. Your kids are fine. The roast in the oven is fine. Feel free to sit down if you want. This isn't about the posture of the body or the soul. It's about the posture of the spirit. Feel free to lay down if you want to. We're just giving him time to be who he said he is, to do what he said he'd do. We break off every condemnation and every lie that wants to immediately measure and say, well, I don't feel anything. That is insignificant. You will. The work of the Spirit is a hidden work. The man of the Spirit is a hidden man. More, Father. More of your person touching our spirit. I believe there's two things that the Lord wants to free us from. One is an addiction to adrenaline. Father, we ask you to free us of an addiction to busyness. Father, help us give ourselves permission to rest, both in body, soul, and spirit. Help us, Lord, to put at the top of our to-do list, ignore your to-do list for a while. The second thing that the Lord wants to set us free from is an addiction to sound. Wait a minute. There's time, just a minute. Understand this. Silence is a friend to your spirit. Because you seldom, if ever, hear the audible voice of God, silence allows you to hear the still small voice of God in your spirit. What are we doing this morning? We are just simply cultivating the life in our spirit, small s, in cooperation with the life of His Spirit, capital S. Go ahead, Henry.
I keep hearing the Lord say first the spiritual and then the physical. Mm-hmm. He's saying that for years this church has been crying out for healing to be manifest. For years you have been seeing a measure of my healing anointing when you pray for the sick. But first the spiritual and then the physical.
Good.
As you allow your spirit to come alive, more alive in me than ever before, you will see the manifestation of the physical in your bodies, in your souls. You will see,
yes,
instantaneous,
good,
miracles and healings as you reach out to me by your spirit, which has been alive but now is being quickened even more,
yes,
through these messages.
Yeah.
You will see the manifestation of healing and miracles in your own body, in this congregation, in this community. You don't even have to be there next to people. You will speak the word over your phones, over computers, over Skype, whatever it may be, that where you have the connection with people that are in need of healing, and you will see the manifestation. You will see the kingdom manifest through your spirit. You've been crying out for years for this, but first I wanted my presence to be so powerful among you that you wouldn't take any of this credit for yourself.
Amen.
That others would know that it's me, not you. You would give glory to God.
Amen.
And it's going to happen. It's happening even now. It's happening even now. Because first the spiritual and then the physical. Thank you, Father.
Thank Amen. I really want to confirm that word. That is the word of the Lord. And I do want to bring some clarity, because you Bible scholars will say, no, the scripture says first the natural, then the spiritual, and that's fine in the context in which that was written, but it was not written in this context. And that is the word of the Lord. I got that same phrase as I was preparing in my secret place. The spiritual will bring the natural. And the things that we've longed to see, he said it better than I could, was a word of the Lord. Some of the things that we've longed to see will come as we learn and grow together, individually and collectively as a body, how to value the spirit, small s, that is within us, and recognize that it is his entry point into our lives. I suspect if there were a third thing the Lord would want to free us from, is an addiction to time. How long, Lord, is this going to take? Personally, it doesn't matter. Because here's what happens. You find a sweetness of being in his presence and with him. And you begin to shift your thinking concerning time is, how long can I be in this place? How long can I linger in his presence before I have to go about some of the natural stuff? But I tell you this, you sow into the spirit and it will affect every aspect of your natural life. Whether you need healing, doesn't matter. Whether you need relational fixing up, in whether you need provision, every aspect of your soul life. By the way, your body and soul are not evil. They were, we just read it, but they're not anymore. They just need to know who's boss. Once the spirit of man has been made alive, and I'm speaking in spiritual terms, not natural, nakedness no longer bothers us. Once the spirit of man has been made alive, we don't hide from God, we run to him. We don't hide ourselves from one another. We connect with one another because we realize that as I connect with, and from this time forth, Paul writes, we know no man after the flesh. I realize that as I connect with my brother, I'm connecting spirit to spirit. And, ooh, I can feed on him. I can draw from him. He has not given us a spirit of fear. We're going to close the bar, take one last drink. By the way, you can take a cup to go with you. And the bartender that is serving this morning will be in your home before you get there. What I mean by that is he's there. Wherever you can meet with him.
When we were sitting in peace and silence, something I noted earlier, and I just wanted to encourage you. I feel like the Lord is going to, Bob alluded to that, and Henry too, I think, but he's going to change our perspective.
Yeah, good.
This has been real, I always call it an adventure that we're on. And I was thinking how the Lord just gave me a little comparison. I was thinking about we're on an adventure and we're walking the path. And to me, that's a different perspective than we're on a trail and we're on a journey. I don't know, but it denotes something that's hard and dry. And so I wanted to encourage us in that I feel like sometimes when we look at something in our lives, we look at it with a perspective that comes from our soul instead of the spirit. And so I just want to encourage us. I feel like the Lord is going to give us a different perspective. That whole thing about time, how long is, you know, about the process of God continuing to change us, how long is that going to take? Well, I feel like with him changing our perspective, it's not going to make any difference. I mean, it is, but it's not. I don't know how to explain that. But I just want to encourage us once again in that just to look, and I've asked the Lord, that's another thing I've asked the Lord for, is to change my perspective in this. Maybe the situation isn't going to change, but boy, I'm telling you, if he changes your perspective, holy cow, it makes such a difference. Because you just come at it from his perspective, his angle, his insight, his prayer, his whatever. And so just encouraging us in that. Amen.
Yes.
And just relating to, just this morning, the Lord gave me a different perspective of time. Not even so much as how long is this going to last in a negative sense, but mine can be a couple different ways. Feeling the pressure of time with the kids. We only get it for so much. I got to make it all, fit it all in. And then also maybe in regard to like our parents, we don't get to see them enough. And the Lord gave me perspective of I was too busy looking at my time on earth. It was like, take off that veil of death. Mm-hmm. That my time on earth is just so little, but it was like, he took off that veil, and it was like, good. My time is forever.
Good.
I don't have to fit it all in or whatever. Oh, my gosh, if I never see my parents, my in-laws again, I have eternity. And what I'm doing with them in eternity far outweighs anything I can do with them on earth. I will be worshiping the Lord with them, and that's what I want to do with them. So, I don't know, just a new perspective I got today.
Yeah. Yes. Good.
Thank
good.
You, Lord.
Good. Well, Father, we thank you for your words to us through many different voices, and we commit this path that we're on to you.
Adventure.
Adventure. Thank you for the adventure, Father, and thank you that it is an eternal adventure, and everything experienced and gained here on earth will pale compared to that ongoing experience in the life that is to come. Bless every person as we go, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Reminder of cookies and cupcakes in the fellowship hall if you're interested. Donation to True Hope. Coffee out in the lobby. Greet one another. Connect spirit to spirit. And that doesn't need to look weird. In Jesus' name. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Let me turn this off.
I charge my book, okay?
Okay. Cool.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. And your presence, Lord,